Well, some of us have been trying to prepare something for the Sunday school children so that we might be able to give them. And I've been looking at some of the stories in Joshua, and I thought perhaps tonight there was three cities that I could speak about, which I believe in some way bring before us three enemies of the people of God. Three enemies which were barring, if you like, the entrance to the land. And so as we think of our lives as Christians, there are things that would hinder us, that would try to stop us enjoying the things of God. Now, as we begin this talk, I would like to think the enemy, of course, the real enemy is the devil, Satan. He is the one who tries to stop us enjoying the things of God. And so I was thinking also that in 2 Corinthians, you don't need to look at this, chapter 4 and verse 4, it says there, talking of Satan, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, there's something which Satan, the devil, is afraid of. He's afraid that people might hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the light of that gospel should shine into their hearts. He doesn't want this, and he tries to stop it in every possible way. And you know, if there's anyone listening today who hasn't come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, sadly, the devil is blinding your mind. He is trying to prevent you from seeing the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that wonderful gospel, that great good news that the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that is very important. Before we start tonight thinking about the enemies of God's people, we need to make sure that we have received that glorious gospel, that we haven't listened to Satan's voice. And we will be hearing tonight that Satan uses various forms. He uses frontal attack. He uses subtle ways. He tries to detract in some way from us listening to God's voice, from doing God's word and God's work. And so he would try to stop anyone coming to know the glorious gospel of Christ. What a glorious thing it is. It's a wonderful thing. It's the most wonderful thing in this world. The world around us, they don't have anything. We see that in this country of ours, the amount of people that have turned to drink because they haven't got anything that really satisfies and fills their life. And so they turn to things that may give them that momentary pleasure. Of course, Moses talks about the pleasures that last for a season. That's all they are. They don't last. But we need to come, as Paul says in Acts 20, verse 21. He talks about his message was a message that people would come to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is so important. Having done so, having come to know the wonderful, glorious gospel of Christ, and that light having shone in our hearts, then we begin to move on and to enjoy what God has for us. The people of God, Israel, are a type for us to learn many lessons. And tonight I'm just bringing a few. And I'm bringing them from Joshua, and so that we can learn how these people were entering the land. And God would have us to enter into the wonderful blessings that he has for us. That means if we're a new converted Christian, and that means if we have been on that course for a long while. You have to remember Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness in disobedience because of their they didn't believe God, and they had to learn so many lessons before they could go into the land which God had promised. So I'd like to turn to the scriptures, and we can turn to Joshua chapter 6, because I want to have mentioned the cities yet, have I? The three cities I want to speak to you about is Jericho, Ai, and Gibeon. And so we read about the first one, Jericho, in chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up, because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valour. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And then if we go to verse 16. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And then just one verse in chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So here we have the first enemy. It's a great city. It was standing there right on the shores almost of the River Jordan. And as the people of Israel come up out of the Jordan, they come to this great city. And we see here in this great city, this that they were afraid, that they shut themselves up. And Israel, you know, they didn't have to do anything. It was totally God's work. God told Joshua what to do. They were to go around that city the exact number of times and to do exactly as God said. And when the trumpets were blown on that 7th day, after that 7th time round, they were to give that shout and the walls fell down. Well, we know this is an amazing thing. It's a miracle as far as we know it is a miracle of God. Other people will look upon it as a story and a fairy tale. In fact, thinking of the people of Jericho at that time, they probably thought it was the most ridiculous thing they'd ever seen. Here were these people with this ark and these trumpets and these people all in order, walking around the city, and to them it was complete foolishness. You know, that is how the world often looks at us who follow the Lord Jesus. We're completely foolish as far as they're concerned. You know, 1 Corinthians, Paul says in chapter 1, verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things which are. Yes, you know, the things that we do for the Lord, the way that we live, to the world is foolish. Yes, it says in that chapter, verse 29, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. The world, they, you know, we're not to get the glory. It's him who gets the glory. And when those walls fell down at Jericho, the people hadn't had to do anything. They just had to turn round, go into the city and take it. It was there for the taking. But God had done the work. You know, that's exactly true for us. God has done the work. There is no glory upon us. There is nothing that we can do. God has done it all. And of course, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. And we can go in and take the city as these people did. They just had to go in and take it. There was only one family, the family of Rahab, that was saved. There was one, of course, that Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, someone who had faith towards God. Here it says about her hiding the messengers, the spies. She hid them from the king of Jericho. But she had done so in faith. She had realized that God was going to destroy this city. And she put her faith in God. It's wonderful to see how God picks up people from the most unbelievable circumstances. This was someone who was in whoredoms, and she was a harlot, but she was picked up by God to be the one who was rescued at that time. Well, the rest, of course, were destroyed. And there, this was a city that had much evil in it. And God indeed had waited until these cities and all their wickedness was ripe for judgment, and that he would pour out that judgment upon them. And so Israel had to do this. But of course, there was something that they were told not to do. They were told that they were not to take anything of that city for themselves. The gold, the silver, the iron, that was consecrated for the temple of God, for the tabernacle. That was for God, and they were not to take it for themselves. So if they did what God said, if they exactly followed his command, then God would bless them. God would help them. And that's what he did. I was just thinking about the people here, thinking about the madness of what they were doing. We may look over to the book of Acts and think of the Apostle Paul when he stood before Festus. What did Festus say of him? He said, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." They thought he was mad. And yet Paul could say what he spoke was words of soberness. It was words that were from God. And it was true. He could say to Agrippa, "You know about the prophets. You know about the word of God, the things that have gone before." And he was one who was a witness to the resurrection, of course, of the Lord Jesus, that wonderful resurrection, that one who went into death for us, that he might come again to life, and that we might indeed be able to join him in glory one day. So we see here in Jericho this enemy of the people of God. And we see that it was overcome by God's greatness, not by anything that they could do on their own. It was by God's great power, and they had to just receive it and to do it. We do see, of course, particularly in Joshua, a zealousness in what he did. They were up early. They started their things in the morning. It was early. They rose up to go about this business. And how indeed we sometimes think of a young Christian in their zeal, desiring to live for the Lord. Well, may that zeal be ever with us. May we always have that desire to be up early doing that which the Lord would have us. And of course, most importantly, to be with the Lord in the morning, to be there praying and reading his word, receiving instructions from him that we might know what to do. Well, for a moment, I'm just going to pass over the sin of Achan, and we'll just think about the next enemy. The next enemy was Ai. Let's just read then from Joshua and chapter 7. I'll read this time from verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labour thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote at them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut us off, cut our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. And then we just read chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. So here we have the second obstacle. And we see here a different approach, because when the people were attacking Jericho, they heard what God had to tell them, and they obeyed, and God did exactly as he said. The walls came down, and they took the city, and they destroyed it. But when it comes to Ai, we see here that the people become a little bit, think that they have a little bit of strength in themselves. And perhaps they don't need to ask God what to do. They perhaps thought, well, here was something, as far as they were concerned, was but few. There was a smaller city, and they didn't need all the army. Not that the army had done anything before anyway, but somehow they thought they could do it in their own strength with a few soldiers fighting against these people. So here there are really two wrong things. The first thing, of course, which we need to speak about, is they had sinned. The second was that they thought that they could do things the way they thought. Yes, Achan had sinned. One of the people of God had disobeyed God. God had expressly told them what they were not to do. More than once, they were told that they were not to take of that city. It was cursed. God had put a curse upon that city. It was to be destroyed. The wicked people of Jericho were to be judged. And they were not to take of the things. But here was someone who we see saw something, he coveted it, and he took it. Very dangerous. And you know how these things speak to us. We're living in a world today which, well, almost more than certainly we've known in our lifetime, which things have become very glistening, very bright, very exciting, apart from COVID, of course, which has brought a little bit of a damper on people's outlook in life, has brought indeed fear upon many. But the world has that appealing aspect to it, which so many have been found appealing. And of course, we know what it is, because we who are Christians still have an old nature, which the things of this world appeals to that nature. And so this man, he saw that lovely Babylonish garment, that which to him was attractive, which made him feel that he could wear something that would make him look and stand out and be special. He saw that wedge of gold, he saw that silver, he saw that there was something that would make his life easier, make it nice for himself to enjoy in this world. And so he took it, despite the warnings, despite the word of God. And how these things need to speak to my heart, to your heart. There are things in this world that may appeal. There are things in this world that may look very nice, sadly, to that old nature. But they are expressly forbidden by God. We are indeed not under law, of course, we're under grace, but the things of this world can still be attractive to us, and they are not the things that we should be occupied with and that we should indeed put our trust in. We have God to trust in. Indeed, these times perhaps have been good for us in that we have learned perhaps more leaning upon God, leaning upon him. God brings trouble to the Christian. God brings difficulty so that we might lean upon him. And so we need to indeed to look to the Lord, because he will give us that strength, that ability to stand for him. And how important it is when God commands that we do. If God commands that we should not be unequally yoked to unbelievers, then we listen to God's word, because God's word is true. And God's word is there for our blessing and for our help. And so we follow God's word. How good it is to be obedient. Of course, sin has its consequence. And if we disobey God, then we deserve that consequence. And we know that there are Christians in the New Testament who disobeyed, who went against God's things and suffered because of it. And we know that this too happens to ourselves. Yes, there has to be that putting right. Of course, here it wasn't just that man. It says Israel has committed a trespass. Israel had sinned. This man was one of Israel. And we know what it is when sin comes into a company of the Lord's people and how sad it is and how difficult it is to deal with such things. But if there's going to be blessing, if there's going to be winning of the battle, then we have to do what God tells us that we should do. Well, that thing had to be put right. But also, there was this fact that they did according to their own thoughts. They thought that as this was much smaller than the city of Jericho, that they didn't need to go in the way which God wanted them to. They would just decide themselves and they would use their warriors, their men, to do the fighting. But it wasn't the right. And we see, of course, that they lost the battle. There was 36 that were killed. They had to flee from their enemies. And Joshua himself finds himself before the Lord, rent his clothes, and he looks forward and sees that here is something, this defeat is going to have ramifications. It's going to indeed be seen by all the enemies around, and it's going to make things impossible for them. And indeed, it's going to look bad for God. And God, the Lord, has to say to him, Joshua, get up. Here there was sin. They had been defeated because they were doing things their own way. They had done things when there was sin in their midst, and therefore God wouldn't be with them. Very important lessons, aren't they? We need to indeed consider these things before God, that we might make sure that there's no sin in our midst, in our hearts, and that we obey God's word. We obey God's word. It's very interesting, isn't it? When we come to chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. He says, take all the people. They said just 2,000 or 3,000 would be enough. It was all of them. God wanted them all to be there, involved in this battle, to be destroying these enemies and to be going on defeating those that were before them, that they would win the battle with God helping them, indeed going before them in it. And indeed, we see the next chapter tells us they had to do it quite a difficult way. There had to be lots of planning and doing it in a certain way, rather than if they had listened to God, if they had waited for God, if there hadn't been sin in their midst, they could have gone and defeated Ai perhaps in a much easier way. And so there we have another enemy, one that had to be defeated and stood before them, enjoying the things of God. Once things had been put right, then God could work. Once they realized that it was God who had to lead them, they had to do it the way that he said. But having said that, there was another enemy, a different enemy. And we have to realize that the enemy is a very, very difficult, dangerous character. We on our own cannot defeat Satan. We need the Lord. So let's just turn again to the scriptures, and we'll read from Joshua again, chapter 9, and now verse 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wildly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent, and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and mouldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore, make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now, make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot from our provision, out of our houses, on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, and it is mouldy. And these bottles of wine, which we filled, were new, and behold, they be rent. And these are garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbours, and that they dwelt among them. Well, in the beginning of the chapter 9, we see that the enemies of the people of Israel joined together. They came against Israel. They decided that one city at a time wasn't able to defeat this company coming up from Egypt. So they would join together. You know, and that reminds us of the fact that when the Lord was here, Pilate and Herod, it tells us in Luke chapter 23, verse 12, were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. They were become friends because they had one enemy, and they together were prepared to work together that they might indeed bring the downfall, as they thought, of the Lord Jesus. And here we see these enemies were coming against Israel. They were coming against God's people, and they decided that they would put all their differences aside, and they would work together to try and defeat them. Of course, God was with the people of Israel, and he was able to defeat them. But Gibeon, we see here someone who had a different idea. They were wily or cunning. They were crafty. They decided that they would work out a plan which they thought would be able to catch out Joshua and the people of Israel. Well, sadly, it worked. It worked. And the reason for it is found in that verse 14. It says, they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And so here we have then our third enemy against the people of God. And we know very well that when we think of the devil, he truly is a crafty enemy. He is one who comes in all kinds of guises. We know right at the very beginning, he came against Adam and Eve. He came as that serpent. He came to catch them out and to bring questions in their mind against the goodness of God and the greatness of what God has. And we look through the scriptures and we see time after time examples of how he was able to get in, to find a way through the defenses of people. And the scripture tells us very clearly in Ephesians 6 that we need to put on the whole armor of God. It tells us, of course, that the battle we're fighting is a spiritual battle. It's a battle in high places, and we are to meet it with that armor which God provides for us to be able to fight against it. And one important thing, we need to ask God for wisdom. Sadly here, people who had seen when they acted upon what God says, he destroyed Jericho, the walls came tumbling down. When they attacked Ai in their own strength, thinking that they didn't need the whole army, they didn't need to do it the way God would tell them, they failed until they put sin right, until they were ready to listen to God and do what he says. And here we have the situation where these people very craftily thought out a plan that they could pretend that they had come a long way. You know, they even used flattery, didn't they, regarding God. They even tried to make out that they had heard about the greatness of God. They had heard about what he had done in Egypt. They had heard what he had done the other side of the River Jordan. They didn't say that they had heard what had happened at Jericho and Ai. No, they managed to miss out those facts. We're living in a world, aren't we, where the media can put things out as being facts. Often they may be certainly a certain amount of truth, but if you miss out some very important things, then you're actually telling a lie. And these people were indeed led on by Satan, were trying to get these people and to by their cunning to work a plan so that they could be saved from destruction. Well, of course, if we looked further on in the chapter, we might think that perhaps it wasn't such a bad thing after all, because God used it as the people of God protected these people. He used it to be able to destroy all these people from their cities that came against Gibeon, because they were now linked with the people of Israel. But you know, that of course is something which is dangerous, to think that doing something wrong, which somehow can be used of God and his sovereign will to work out his purposes, means that it's good. That doesn't work. If we've disobeyed the word of God, if we haven't done what he says, then we have not done the right thing, and therefore it's not according to what God would have us to do. You know, these people were not to make peace with the people of the land. That was strictly forbidden in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16 to 20. says there, but the cities of these people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them. Namely, well, one of them was the Amorites, which I believe this was part of, according to 2 Samuel 21. As the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thou teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. Yes, these people were in the land, and God had said they were to be destroyed. But these people, because they hadn't asked of God, they had been tricked. And indeed, the result of it stayed with them. And indeed, there was a problem in the life of King Saul many years later, which had to be dealt with because of this disobedience, is the fact that they were caught out not asking of God what they should do. And so it's very important that we do, even in this situation. Joshua seems to be caught out, and you know how we have to realize, we in our day, we mustn't put people up as being beyond any chance of failure. Sadly, that has been done amongst Christians and has resulted in much failure in the companies of the people of God. And so it is important that we read God's word, that we listen to God's word, that we obey God's word, and that we ask him wisdom, so that we might not be trapped, we might not be caught out. You know, Paul, he tells the Corinthians in the second letter, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Paul had indeed learned of the devices of Satan, and he says, we're not ignorant. We are to be those who understand what God's word would say and how to act according to his word, so that we would not be caught by him. It also says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. He can come in such guise whereby we can be entrapped, we could be tricked by his clever ways. That's why we need to be much in prayer, dependence upon God, seeking wisdom from him, that we might be kept, that we might be able to enjoy the things of God. That's what God wanted these people to have. He had given them a land which was flowing with milk and honey. Even the spies, going right back to the time of Moses, they went into the land and they saw the abundance. They saw the greatness of the land that God had for them. But they said, we're not able to go in. We're not able to defeat the giants. We're not able to take that land. And here they were going in. This time they were going in. The spies had seen what God was doing in Jericho, had brought that report back. They had obeyed God, seen what he would do for them. But they had lessons to learn, didn't they? They had lessons to learn at Ai, severe lessons, which indeed caused them much trouble. And they had lessons to learn at Gibeon. Here again, their fact that they had not asked of God, they had not waited upon him, caused them trouble. Although these people were made to be bearers of burdens, to carry water for the house of their God, yet they were there in amongst them when they should have been destroyed. And so there might be many things in our life that we face, many things that come before us. How are we going to face them? How are we going to deal with them? We need to be much before the Lord. We need to hear his word, do what he says, and to be led by him. Well, we pray indeed that these few thoughts might be a help to us again in our lives. As we look at these chapters, there is much instruction in these Old Testament scriptures. Now, Joshua, of course, is very much been aligned with Ephesians and the wonderful going into that promises that God has for the people of God. And of course, having that armor, being able to be those who are fighting those battles, spiritual battles, because we are very much against it. You know, the devil has often been said, he knows his days are numbered. And he is trying to cause all kinds of breakdown amongst the people of God. We've seen it sadly everywhere. And indeed, we are seeing in our land, as never before, such a breakdown of everything that has been made as precious, important, true. So therefore, we need to be prepared to stand for God. We need to be listening to God, to God's voice. We need to be in prayer much for his help, because he helps us. Well, I very much myself feel the need for these things. And I hope each one of us are encouraged, are helped, and will move on in the pathway with the Lord's help. Shall we just close then in a word of prayer?